This district of the city was a warren, full of avenues crowded over with dirty tenement blocks that shouldered up against warehouses and silos. Alleyways and conduits gave way to labyrinthine side streets, where even the rats lost their bearings. Except she couldn't lose them. Not her shadows. They had the scent of prey. Ducking around a corner, Alentea sank to her haunches as she tried to catch a breath. It was tempting to believe she was safe now, or to give up and relinquish the chase. The city was quiet, overly so, and she feared then that she was the last surviving inhabitant, that Ranos was extinct but for her tiny life spark. She'd seen no sign of the Clavagers, no dramatic call to arms from the Shield Wardens, no response at all. What enemy force in all existence could achieve such a feat of absolute subjugation with barely any resistance? A harsh, grating voice, speaking in a language she didn't understand, got Alentea to her feet. She guessed he was talking to the others. The thought of a noose tightening ever so slightly around her pale, slender neck sprang unbidden into her mind. They were closer than before. Alentea knew it instinctively. She thought of her father and the slow, cancerous death that awaited him. She remembered better days, still poor, but tempered with happiness, when her father had been whole. He needed medicine. Without it, a few more precious moments with her father was all she wanted. In the end, that's all any of us ever really want. Just a little longer. But it's never enough. It is part of the human condition to want to live, and when faced with our mortal end, we rail against it to further that desire. It galvanized Alentea now. Cardinal Square wasn't far, another 100 meters, maybe fewer. Dredging up whatever stamina she had left, Alentea ran. Even with her injured knee, she covered the last few meters steadily and at pace. Bursting into Cardinal Square, gasping for breath, she saw him. Rendered in gold, holding aloft a scepter of command that would later be given to the Lord Excavator General of Traoris, patron of Ranos, and the other 7 worker cities. He looked magnificent. He had come to her world, set foot in this very spot after the liberation, after the Traorans had been freed. He had spoken, and all had tried to listen. Alentea was not born then. She had neither seen the one they came to know as the Golden King, nor heard his speech during the triumph. But sitting upon her father's shoulders, as he remembered back to what his father and his father before that told him of the liberation, she had felt his power and benevolence. Something had changed since that day with her father. Standing in Cardinal Square now, she no longer felt that reassurance. It was as if something had arisen to challenge it, and was even now worming away at all it represented. She could not say why. Perhaps it was instinct, that unfathomable intuition that only the female of the species possessed. All she knew was that a different blessing had fallen upon Ranos, one that felt far from benevolent, and its nexus was focused on the square. 5 points ran off from the square, though to call it such was a colloquial misnomer, for it was actually pentagonal, including the one where Alentea was standing. At each of the other 4, she saw an armored form blocking her escape. Phantoms, at first, shadows, they advanced slowly out of the darkness. Edged in silver phosphor light, their movement seemed almost syncopated and inhuman. Turning back, realizing her mistake, Alentea didn't know she'd been stabbed until the feeling left her legs and she collapsed. Strong, armored hands caught her before she fell, and she looked up into the face of her rescuer. He was handsome, despite the strange script gilding his cheekbones and the exposed areas of his scalp that hurt Alentea's eyes to look at. His black hair was short, shorn close to the scalp and ended in a sharp widow's peak over his forehead. His eyes were pitying, but it was a cold pity, one usually reserved for the culling of cattle no longer fit for the herd. Alentea whispered, using up a good measure of her courage to speak.
"Let me go."
The armored warrior, clad in wine-red plate, festooned with chains and scrollwork, slowly shook his head.
"Now, now, my dear,"
he said, soothing, but seizing Alentea's arms when she struggled.
"That's quite enough of that."
He caressed her cheek with a long metal nail he wore on one of his gauntlets, drawing a thin line of tiny bloody jewels across her skin. Whimpering like the animal he regarded her as, Alentea tried to answer, but the warrior shushed her, holding the blood-stained finger up to his slightly curved lips. Exhausted, unaware of the internal trauma her body was experiencing as a result of the knife wound, Alentea was powerless to prevent her head from lolling back. Vision fogging, she saw the Golden King upside down and lashed by the rain. As it ran across his face and down his cheeks, it looked as if he were crying. In her delirium, she wondered what could have upset him so, what could have instilled in a being such as he such profound remorse. Chains were being looped around the statue by the other warriors that had entered the square. They heaved, a single gargantuan effort, and brought the Golden King down amid the dirt and the blood.
"Don't struggle. You're bleeding,"
the warrior holding her told Alentea benevolently before his tone grew darker.
"And we must not waste a single drop."